In today's solo episode, I'm going to answer a question on anti-racism or allyship from our Inclusion First community. Now, these episodes are really made to get you the information that you need so that you can go and make greater change in the world. These are real questions from real people. And my goal here is to break down the question, give some answers and some insights that you can hopefully put to use as you are out there navigating your life, navigating opportunities for anti-racism, for allyship, and to really bring more inclusion into the spaces that you exist in. So here we go. This episode of the Inclusion First podcast is sponsored by the Social Justice Superhero Academy. In this 4-day online course, you, aspiring changemaker, will learn how to start interrupting racism that is happening around you and start creating more inclusion and more equity in our world. Now, as part of the Academy, you'll get access to 4 1-hour video sessions, an interactive community space to share experiences and ask questions, workbooks, exercises, and guides to support you on your journey. Enrollment closes in early August, so sign up today at www.tinyurl.com/social-justice-superhero. Our community question today is there room for a white woman in a leadership role in the educational equity arena? Okay, so this person clearly works in education, in equity, and they are wondering if their voice matters. So I would say unequivocally, yes, there is room for a white woman, a white man in the leadership role of equity and education. And I'm going to say that the reason is yes for a couple of different reasons, with one caveat. And I actually will start with that caveat, is that when you are stepping into this space, you need to come correct, you need to come educated, you need to know what you're talking about, right? If you're just interested or you're passionate, but you don't really know what you're talking about, then that's going to really cause more harm than good, right? And I'm not saying that you have to be totally educated before you step into the space, but it really depends on how you're stepping in. And this person is asking if they can step in as a leader. So if you want to step in as a leader, then you need to be able to lead and have the knowledge and skills and capability and capacity that you need to do that. Now, if you want to step into a new space as a learner, as an observer, as someone who wants to grow and become more impactful, absolutely come as you are. Sit, learn, listen, do your research. Totally fine. You are welcome. And the reason why you're welcome in either of these cases is because we need all the voices at the table if we're going to make a difference in education or any other sector. Now, this is an interesting one, and I've heard this sentiment echoed in other questions that we've collected with the Inclusion First podcast and the Inclusion First project. So this idea that as a white person, my voice doesn't matter or isn't as important as the voices of color. And in some cases, that might feel true to you. But the thing is, all the voices matter. And this is why. Number one, there are times when as a non-person of color, you need to step back and let people of color share their experiences because they are the experts on it. You have an opportunity as a non-person of color to amplify those voices. And so learning when it's time to step back, learning when it's time to amplify, learning when it's time to step in and use your voice is actually part of the work, right? Because there are times when your voice is needed to double down on something that a person of color said, to bring in the voice of the people who are not in the room with you, if this is a privileged or all white space, right? So there are definitely times where you need to step forward and step back, and your work is to figure that out. The other sentiment, the other layer of this question is that maybe I don't belong here because we're talking about race and I don't feel comfortable, or I'm not the right person to decide what we should do next or how we should do it. And what I would say to that is that we as people of color cannot do this by ourselves. As a people, we all have to work together. As a white person, you have a role. As a Black person, you have a role. As an LGBTQ person, you have a role. As a disabled person, you have a role in bringing more inclusion and equity into this world. And not just into this world, but into the circles, into the communities, into the boardrooms, into the classrooms that we are all a part of, right? So it's both this macro and this micro that we are managing, that we are trying to drive change on all these levels at all times. And so as a white woman who wants to step into the educational equity arena, figure out where you can be the most impactful. Figure out where you can bring a perspective that helps to drive inclusion and drive equity. Figure out how you can amplify the voices of the other brown people in the room. Figure out how you can bring voices that are not allowed in the room into this educational arena so that you can reach the goals that your whole group has decided are important to center, to prioritize, to go for at this particular time, right? So as I look at this question, is there room for a white woman in a leadership role in the educational equity arena? One other thing that I'm feeling is that maybe she has tried to get into this arena, but wasn't accepted readily or was maybe even outright rejected. And so in those instances where you are feeling unwelcome, take that as a learning cue. What is the reason? How can you dig into like the why of that? Am I feeling uncomfortable because of my own insecurities in this space, my own discomfort with talking about race in this way? Am I feeling insecure because I maybe got some backlash or negative reaction because of something that I said or did that may or may not have triggered someone else's racial awareness, insecurities, conditioning? Maybe I'm saying something that actually like holds up or propagates an old racist ideal or system, and I'm not even aware of it, right? So use that discomfort as a cue to dig in and figure out, why am I uncomfortable? Where can I have conversations with people to maybe connect and get a better understanding of what my role can be? What is my personal why for why I'm here? Because even when we're uncomfortable in situations, if you know what your why is, you're going to keep going, right? You're going to do what it takes to be heard. You're going to do what it takes to collaborate. You're going to do what it takes to drive the change, right? It becomes more than just about my ego and my comfort. It becomes about that why. So as you are venturing into different spaces, as you are taking up this racial and social equity call, remember to take the time to decide and to think about and to understand, what is your why? Why are you there? Why are you wanting to contribute to this space? And then use that as your true north, regardless of whether things are easy or difficult, whether it's a natural collaboration or one that is more combative, because it takes all kinds of people. It takes discussion. We are not all going to agree. We are not always going to say or do the right thing, because this is a new skill that we are building. Yes, a lot of us have been in this racial and social equity work for a while, but it is different. It is evolving. We have a lot of new people who are joining this game and coming in with new perspectives and creating new experiences and new opportunities for growth and for learning for all of us. And so as we are navigating the now, the new now, how do we all learn how to be flexible and flow and challenge our discomfort, challenge our old ideas, look for new ways of connecting and communicating, and really welcome people to this table? And in welcoming, guess what? When we have a more diverse table, at the beginning especially, there is more discourse, there is more disagreement, there is more difference that we have to learn how to navigate through. After you get through that initial phase of storming, right, then that is when these diverse teams, these diverse groups, these diverse collaboratives really start to shine, really start to benefit from the beautiful mix of diversity. And as those different skills learn to work together, incredible things start to happen. The innovation, the ideas, the collaboration, the connections that emerge from that. So pushing through that initial discomfort, really digging in and learning what's causing it, doing what it takes to move through it, work around it, get over it, and then figuring out how we can, again, all work together to reach the goals that have been set before us, because it will take all of us, whether you're white, black, green, or purple, as my grandma used to say, we need you at the table. And so part of your work is figuring out where and how you fit into it. Thank you for listening to the Inclusion First podcast. We are always collecting and answering your most important questions on anti-racism. So if there's something on your mind, head on over to theinclusionfirstproject.org and click on Ask a Question. We would love to get your like, your share, your follow, and especially your review wherever you find us. Thank you again so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.